singing another verse, giving me a little bit of time to run back in here. All right. Well, preacher called me yesterday afternoon, and sick as a dog, driving back in. He's like, "Can you preach for me?" So I am honored to preach. I'm giving a little bit of a hard time, but I am grateful for the opportunity to preach and to stand up in his stead. And I just wanted to give a quick update. Pastor asked me if I would just give an update about where things stand with this church, Liberty Baptist Church in Russellville, Arkansas. Now, you're not supposed to say Arkansas, but anyway, Arkansas. So I went up there, when was it? Was it a week ago? Yeah, just a week and a half ago. We were there, what, Saturday through Tuesday. Got to meet with the church, preached all day Sunday, three services. Well, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And had a question and answer time, got to fellowship there with several people in the church and families. And they had about, I think they said 32 there Sunday morning. They don't have a church building. They're meeting in a storefront currently. And agreed to make a second visit after the first meeting. We had a meeting up there with the pulpit committee Monday night. That went about just over 3 hours. So asking questions and getting to know each other and working through the process. And going back up there next Wednesday, I'll be up there Wednesday through the following Monday. And I have another meeting with the pulpit committee. There's still a few things, a few details that we have to work through, a few questions, just to clear some stuff up that I wasn't able to address the first time. Like, I wasn't able to address it. It was 3 hours. My goodness. Yeah, there's still a couple more things. Things that you think of after the fact. Like, oh yeah, I should have asked that. So anyway, pray for us and pray for them. We are seeking God's will above anything else. And it's a burden of trying to figure out God's will, but that's why we're asking for prayer. So, and that's what I'm preaching on tonight is burdens, actually. And this is a spinoff of Brother Gabe's message on a Sunday night. He preached from Matthew, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." So, does anybody remember his title from Sunday night? This is a little pop quiz. Anybody remember his title? Oh, okay, the pastor's wife. Good job. Good job. Someone remembered what you preached on. All right, very good. So, I actually gave this as a devotion last year in August for the teenagers. And I was reminded about it again this summer and reminded about it again when Brother Gabe preached. And then on Tuesday, I was reminded about it again whenever I found something on my desk. So it was just all this reminder. And then Pastor called me Tuesday evening and afternoon about 4 o'clock or so, said, "Hey, can you preach tomorrow?" And I was already working on another sermon for next week. I was like, "Oh yeah, I'll just preach that one." But immediately my mind went to this one over here, and I was like, "Yeah, this is the one God has for us." So take your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms 55. Psalm 55. I get a drink of water. They were making progress, getting all the stuff back from storage today, and have everything back in the building, mostly, except for the pianos, which are going to be delivered Tuesday. Okay, got that cleared up. And they're fanning the doors, and I'm just trying to keep the doors closed because the air's coming on. So it's because it's hot outside, right? Okay, it's hot. It's hot. Okay, it's hot outside. I was working in the garden this morning, working on the tiller. Now I've got blisters on my hands. And then after I worked on the tiller, I went and was digging and fixing irrigation and digging in the dirt and getting dirt all in the blisters and popping them open. And it's not fun. You know, it's not fun. Okay, now I'm a fan. I don't know what y'all think about. Some people like to pop stuff. Okay, all right. With blisters, you don't pop it. Okay, no, it just makes it worse. How many of y'all like to pop the blisters? Okay, yeah, okay. A few of you that are just weird, okay. All right, so I don't, you know, just let it sit there. It'll callus over. You'll be good to go. You just, you know, get it taken care of later, all right? But yeah, they both ripped open, so my hands were stinging all day long. But my wife put some medicine on there for it to take care of me. So anyway, but it was hot outside. And it wasn't too bad today. Actually, we got a pretty nice relief this week. You know, I don't want to say it as relief because it was a hurricane. There's, you know, all the damage and different stuff. When I first heard it, I was like, oh, it's just a Category 1 hurricane. Yeah, not that bad. It's just Category 1. And then I watched the news on Monday, and I was like, oh, yeah, it's still a hurricane. Yeah, still some pretty significant damage. But a plus that came with it for us in DFW was it was nice on Monday. So we got a bit of a break from the weather. We went outside at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon and just played in the yard. It's like, come outside. Like, it doesn't happen in Texas. This is July. Like, come, we need to play outside. It was beautiful. It was perfect. But there's a huge difference between 90 degrees and 100 degrees. Amen. Oh, man. Now, this summer has been pretty mild. It's been pretty nice, okay? It hadn't been too bad. Last summer, however, was horrible. I mean, it was treacherous. It was terrible. Now, I heard somewhere that it was the fourth hottest summer on record. I'm not sure if that's true. I believe it. It was bad. It was hot. It was over 100 a lot last year. This year, I don't know how many days we've had over 100, if any. I mean, it's been very, very minimal. And I told someone one time, the 105 degrees is really not that bad, okay? I can take the 105 degrees. It's okay. Now, it's hot, yes, but I can stand it. What's bad is when it's 105 for a month. You know, whenever it's 100 for a month, then it's just like, you know, you walk outside and it's just like something heavy is placed on. You're just like, it's hot, okay? Am I the only one that this happens to? All right, your body just breaks. You walk outside. I was talking to somebody about getting older last week or so. It's like, whenever I was a kid, I could go outside and play, and it wasn't a big deal. Now I look outside and I start to sweat. Like, it's horrible. I guess it comes with getting older. I don't know. But the 105, I can take that. It's just whenever it's 105 for such a long time, it just doesn't let up. Every day the heat's pressing on you. It's a weight. It just wears on you. But such is life. You know, such is life. It just weighs on you. Such are the burdens that we have to endure. And we all have burdens, right? We all have burdens, things that we have to carry, things that we have to carry that sometimes no one else knows about. We have burdens. No one can make it through life without burdens. They are going to happen, right? They're going to happen. John 16:33, in this world ye shall have tribulations. You're going to have burdens. They're going to hurt. This passage of scripture that we're dealing with tonight is about David's burdens, or a specific burden. And he has got some pretty big burdens. So let's jump in here. Psalm 55, we'll start in verse 1. Says, give ear to my prayer. This is, of course, Psalm of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, verse 6, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah, the wilderness being a good thing. Verse 8, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Oh, if I could just fly away, if I could just get out of here and just go be in the woods by myself, get away from all this burden. You can feel the distress. I mean, it's just, it's prevalent. It's there. You can feel, when he's writing this, the distress that comes from this burden, or really it's multiple burdens. Burdens come in all shapes and sizes. They do. Burdens come in all shapes and sizes. And like I said, we all have burdens. We all have burdens that we have to carry. Spiritual burdens. Okay, just start going through a list. Spiritual burdens. You got to fight temptation. That's a burden. Standing up for righteousness. That's not easy. That's a burden. Burdens that press sore on you. Spiritual burdens. Mental burdens. Mental things. Things that keep you awake at night. Like Brother Gay was talking about Sunday night. The ever-present burden of depression that many people face. It's like what Winston Churchill called the black dog that was always with him. Anxiety, fear of failure, rejection. Got mental burdens on top of spiritual burdens. You got health burdens, right? Health burdens. Think of the cars. They started their isolation. Cancer, okay? It's a burden. Heart issues. Other people are sick. Wade is sick again tonight. So Shalice is at home with him. Burdens, health issues, okay? And some pain is tolerable, okay? You're hurting for a day. Okay, all right. You know that tomorrow, okay, it's just going to last. Take ibuprofen, get your pain pills, whatever, and you're good to go. It's whenever the pain lasts for a month, that it's like the 105 degrees, and it's just, it wears you down, and it puts you way down. The changing of medication, the symptoms that go with all of that, family members' health. Think of several here that are taking care of ailing parents. I thought of Miss Martha, Brother Greg, talking about getting your dad a chair. Burdens, okay, health burdens, they're heavy. You got job-related burdens, okay? I have big job-related burdens, okay? Not right here, okay? Not right now, but in the process of this transition, okay? You got stress, job loss, an overbearing boss, perhaps. Not me, okay? You got customers, coworkers. Sometimes customers and things of that nature, they are burdens, okay? Financial burdens. And all this stuff, you know, it's not just like you have health burdens and that's it. Okay, it's burdens on burdens on burdens. Okay, they just pile up. Financial burdens, one of the leading causes of marriage difficulties and divorce, finances. Financial burdens that come from health and job burdens. The burdens of debt. Weight that brings. It's heavy. It's heavy having, you know, several thousands or sometimes tens of thousands of dollars in debt. That weighs on you. It hurts. Family burdens. Hey, I mean, we could go on. Family burdens, drama. They won't talk to them. They don't get along with them. They're not saved. They're not Christians. They don't get along, and there's drama, and that's a burden. Split families, divorce, can't get together for holidays. Rebellious children, whether young or old. Okay? I'll talk about burdens of children, and I know children shouldn't be thought of as burdens. Okay? I don't want to think of them as that, but children are burdens. They are. They can be difficult, and they can cause stress. Moms have something very special, okay? That they can deal with the kids all the time and take care of the kids. I try to be, you know, mom for a day. She goes and does something and I have to take care of the kids. Like, after 2 hours, like, heads are going to roll. It's like, it's just like, I can't do it. It's like, oh, they're driving me nuts. Shalisa's like, welcome to my world. I deal with this all the time. It's not too bad just going home in the evening. You know, I got a couple hours. Yeah, I can handle that. It's like all day. Oh, man, these are ruffians, you know. Raising children to be good Christians in this sinful world is not easy. And that's an ever-present burden that Christian parents have on their mind. Looked up top causes of stress, and they include finances, job, relationships, parenting, and health, whether mental or physical health. And then one more, other people's burdens. It's not your burden, but you feel it. You feel it for them. Pastor said, yeah. I feel other people's burdens. Okay, I already brought up the cars. I feel that, and I'm sure y'all do too, which is part of our calling as a church. Bear ye one another's burdens. Okay? So we feel these things, and it gets heavy. Life, in general, just gets heavy. Burdens wear us down. And that's what we see from the life of David here. Let's just look at a few of these verses. Verse 2 says, attend unto me and hear me. Now, who's he asking here? He's praying to God. He's saying, hear my supplication. He says, attend unto me, hear me. Sometimes we just need someone to listen to our burdens. Just need someone to listen. When someone is going through a trial of life, many times they don't need you to be there to know exactly what to say. They just need you to be there. Just be there. Just listen. We need someone to hear us a lot of times. That's what David needs. Like, Lord, I need you to hear me. I need you. Attend unto me. Lord, please hear me. Verse 2 also says, I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. I mourn. Burdens hurt. Right? Burdens hurt. Weeping. You get choked up. It hurts. Verse 3. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me. Burdens are cast onto us in this life. They are thrown on top of us. You know the saying, when it rains, it pours. And it's just burden upon burden upon burden. They just pile up. We were in Arkansas, and I was preparing for the pulpit committee meeting on Monday night. That went 3 hours, so I had lots of questions. I had a lot of things going through my mind. And then the kids got sick. And Shalise has to deal with the kids, and they're spilling cookies everywhere, okay? And it wasn't a pretty thing. And I had to leave her in a hotel room and go to this meeting that I was already burdened about. And then I came back to drop off some food before I went to the meeting and found out they had got sick again. And now both of them are sick. And now we come back home and Wade's sick again. This is like, so for the past 4 weeks, someone in my family has been sick. Minus, I think, 4 days. But constantly for 4 weeks. So you have burden upon burden upon burden. Now I know, just kids being sick, that's not a huge thing. But she thinks it's kind of big. She has to miss church, okay? She doesn't like that. She said today, I don't want to miss church again. It's burdens. It's burdens. They get cast on you, one on top of the other, burden upon burden. Verse 4 says, my heart is sore pained within me. Burdens will break your heart. They will. I think everyone here could say their heart has been broken at least once, if not multiple times. They break your heart. They do. Verse 4 and 5 says, the end of verse 4 says, the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. Shake us to the core. They shake us. They pierce us through to our very souls. Burdens. Verse 5, horror hath overwhelmed me. overwhelm me. Horror hath overwhelmed me. David's, God, I'm overwhelmed. Burdens. Verse 6. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. For then would I fly away and be at rest. Burdens make us desperate for relief. They do, and make us desperate for relief. If I could just get out of here, if I could just get out from under this burden, it's crushing me. If I could just be a little bird and just fly away just for a minute, maybe I could have some rest. Make us desperate for relief. They wear us down. David was under intense burdens at this time, and we can read that. But what were the burdens that he was under? What burdens? So we have to read further down into the psalm to find that out. And we read of deception, rebellion, betrayal, violence. Starting verse 9. It says, "Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets." Verse 12, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." So you can see from different things here, it says, divide their tongues. Mischief and sorrows, deceit and guile. It was not an enemy. These are all keys that point to exactly what this burden was. But the main key that is most significant is in verse 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, "But it was thou, a man, my equal, his guide, a man who walked in his company to the house of God." We would call this a brother. It's his brother. That wasn't his physical brother. The burden David was under during the psalm was when his son, Absalom, was in the midst of revolting against him. This is all of that time. His oldest son, David's oldest son, rebelled against him to try and steal the kingdom out from underneath him. He was conniving behind the scenes. It was bad. It was messed up. And it almost worked. Absalom almost got away with it. And it would have worked if Absalom had listened to certain counsel. You see, the man David's speaking of here is not his son Absalom. It's not him. Verse 13, it says, "Is a man my equal, my guide, my acquaintance." The man that David is referring to is Ahithophel. Ahithophel. How many of y'all know who Ahithophel is? Okay, Ahithophel. Now, I've heard a whole message preached about who is Ahithophel. It's the name of the message. It's a good message. And I'd love to preach that, but I just don't have time. That's not the point of the sermon. So I'll just give you what you need to know. Ahithophel, it's a fun word to say, my name, fun name, Ahithophel. You should try it. Go ahead. Ahithophel, yeah, it's just fun. Ahithophel was one of David's most loyal counselors. He's one of his most loyal counselors. And it doesn't say it in this psalm here, but we can deduce from a few verses and throughout the book of Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, that Ahithophel was a very close counselor to David. He was very close. Matter of fact, when Absalom was preparing for his big uprising against his father, he called for Ahithophel. Said, "I need Ahithophel." Why? Why did he ask for Ahithophel? Because Absalom knew that Ahithophel knew everything about David. He knows how he thinks. He knows what he's going to do. He knows how he's going to react to this. Ahithophel knows David. He was a very close counselor. And as soon as David heard that Ahithophel was one of the conspirators with Absalom, it says in the same verse, someone came to him and said, hey, Ahithophel is one of the conspirators. This is what David says in 2 Samuel 15:31. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. He knew Absalom had the key to his demise. Ahithophel, that's who he is. He was close with him. And in his moment of need, that his son betrayed him, he needs counsel. Ahithophel betrays him too. His son betrayed him. That's a burden. His mentor betrays him. Burden on top of burden. They pile up. They pile up. Absalom would not have taken the kingdom had he listened to Ahithophel. But Ahithophel's counsel was turned into foolish. You can read this story in 2 Samuel 17. But in this psalm, David is burdened, and I'm sure he's burdened for his son Absalom. Absalom, Absalom, oh my son Absalom, whenever he was killed later on. But in this psalm, primarily his burden was not about his son. It was about Ahithophel, his counselor, his guide. His friend betrayed him. David said in Psalm 55, verse 12, we read it, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. It wasn't an enemy. It was my guide. If it were an enemy, it wouldn't hurt so bad. If it were someone against, they were my enemy, I could fight against, it wouldn't hurt so bad, but it was my friend. He betrayed me. And it's crushing me. Horror hath overwhelmed me. Because it was his mentor, it crushed him. It was a tremendous burden. Burden on top of burden. He was running for his life from his own son. Absalom was in hot pursuit of David. He was on his heels. You could say it was a heated time in David's life. I mean, come on. David was in the fire. It was hot. It was hot. And it was a burden. He was hurting, and these burdens were too big for him to handle. If it were an enemy, I could handle it, God, but it's someone close to me. It's someone close to me. This is too hot. It's too heavy. I'm getting burned. I'm being crushed. If I could just grow wings like a little bird and just fly away, just get a little bit of rest. My friend, I went to the house of God with him. I fellowship with him. He betrayed me. It's crushing David down to his very soul. And it would have crushed him too. It would have. God designs burdens of life to be too hot or to be too big, too heavy for us to handle by ourselves. Like God does that to us? Yes, he designs it that way. He designs it that way. You look at the three Hebrew children. Talk about a hot burden. Okay, thrown into the fiery furnace. That was too big for them to handle. But God's grace is always what? Sufficient. Always sufficient. God allows burdens for different reasons. He does, and we all have burdens. Are they hot? Yes. Are they heavy? Yes. Do they hurt? Yes. Down to our core. But as a child of God, we have someone to give our burdens to. Jump down to verse 22. After David talks about all this heavy burden, it's crushing him, he says, cast, which means throw off, thy burden, which is a weight. Upon who? Upon who? The Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, that he will keep thee, he will maintain, hold thee. He shall never suffer. He shall never willingly allow or let the righteous to be moved. He will never let the righteous fall. He will never let the righteous decay, rot. He will never let us fall. There's a song. Cast your burdens up on Jesus. He cares for you. Right? You know that song? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. God's sustaining grace is bountiful for our burdens. After David wrote of his burdens, he immediately, in verse 16, turns to God. Let's read verse 16. It says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon when I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. I have God. Amen. I have God. This is what I'm going to do. And then in verse 22, he says, you need to do it too. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. David said, my heart is sore pain. Fearfulness and death are come upon me. Horror hath overwhelmed me. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to give God my burdens, and he will save me. I'm going to cast my burdens on Jesus. And that's what we need to do. Cast your burdens on Jesus. Now, this heat, with the soil and everything, where's Miss Rebecca? I only grabbed one tissue, okay? Only one. Inside joke, I suppose. This heat with the soil and everything, it causes the ground to what? Crack, right? Oh man, you go out there in the field, and it's not too bad this year. It's not horrible, but there's a few cracks out there, right? Okay, it's a huge foundation issue. Okay, the movement of the soil is upwards of 10 inches, I think, is what it is in this area. Okay, huge foundation issues that comes from the heat. So last three summers, we have had some issues with the cracking and the heat. It's been bad, okay, for the pavilion out there. We have the pavilion, it's got the four poles and the tarp, and the heat will cause the soil or the ground around the concrete at the bottom of the poles. It'll back up by like, I don't know, 2-3 inches, you know how the cracks are in the soil right here, okay? You can lose a small child in that, okay? There's cracks and everything, and then they have a lot of wiggle room, and then it's in the middle of a field, okay? Well, the buildings are been built back here, so it blocks a little bit of some of the wind, not really. And then especially with the windstorm that we had not too long ago, okay, with the whatever 80-mile-an-hour winds or whatever it was, okay, windy stuff. I looked out there, I was like, it's gonna block, it's gone, all right? We lost the pavilion, we're done. But you have the cracks in the foundation of the ground, and then you have the wind that's whipping at the stuff and pulling it, and you go out there after the storm, and the pole's like, it's supposed to be here, and it's like this. Whoa! We're about to lose this thing. I mean, this whole thing's about to come tumbling down, right? Like the walls of Jericho. It's going down. It gets hot. The ground cracks around the poles, and we even put irrigation. We had irrigation put in last year. So that it would spray to those poles so that the ground wouldn't crack as much. But guess what? It still cracks because it's good old Texas gumbo, right? It cracks. It's gonna happen. And the wind pulls it, and the poles just can't take that much of a burden. So what we have to do is we hook up a chain to the top of the pole, and we have to get the truck or the church van or something and pull it back over to where it's supposed to go, add dirt or, you know, rocks or sand, whatever, and get it down in there and pack it all in there so that it, you know, gets back over to where it needs to be. We got to reset some things because the foundation and the wind, it's too much of a burden for those poles. It's too much. Those poles need help to stay where they need to be. Everybody's getting this, right? Okay. It's burdens. The heat of the burden causes cracks in our foundation or around our foundation, chiseling away at our lives. Then the wind comes. Oh, I've already got the foundation to worry about, God. Let me at least deal with one thing at a time. Well, now you got the wind. Now you got the storms of life. You got the trials of life and different things that come and they whip at you and they pull you like, this thing's about to break. It's about to rip. I've got the foundation issues. I've got this. I'm not going to last much longer. It's going down. Burdens can rip us to the core. And we might think in our own hearts, or maybe we might say it out loud to God or to other people, God, I'm going down. I can't make it. It's too heavy. It's too hot. But God will never allow the righteous to be moved. We read it in the verse 22. Let's read it again. 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer, allow the righteous, those that walk in the Spirit, to be moved. The word moved, I mentioned earlier, means to decay, to rot, to fall. He will never allow the righteous to fall. As a child of God, walking in the Spirit of God, you can't fall. You can't. Why? Well, it's not because you're awesome. It's not because, I've got this. No. Because God won't let you fall. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. He will never allow your life to come crashing down if you are righteous. Never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 37:23-24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Psalm 63:8, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. We look around and we see those cracks forming and we get scared for our foundations and our ankles and our children. Big cracks. But if we're faithful to serve God, he will hold our hands like I hold Wade's hand. And whenever he trips and falls, I save him from disaster, face plant on the concrete. That might hurt his shoulder a little bit. You know how it goes with the kid. You trip and fall. That's parent life. You hold on to their hands. They hold on to yours, but you're holding on to theirs. So whenever they trip, it's not if, when they trip, you're right there to catch them. That's what God does with us. That's what God does with us. If we are faithful to serve God, he will hold our hands and keep us from great injury. If we let God deal with our burdens rather than just trying to carry them ourselves, he will take care of everything. But here's the catch. We have to give them to him. Right? Verse 22, what is the first word? Cast. It means you have to get rid of it. You have to cast your burden on the Lord. You have to give your burden to God. I think that's many of our problems sometimes. We don't like to give, share our burdens, right? Like, all right, this isn't your problem. I'll deal with it. Am I the only one? All right, you pray for me. Okay, appreciate it, but this is my thing to go through. I'll just have to go through it. I don't want to share the burden. Like I said earlier, that's part of the purpose of the church is to bear ye one another's burdens. And then many times, which astounds me, but I do it too, we don't give our burdens to God. We don't. We're just like, oh man, going through this hard thing and it's rough and I'm getting crushed. And it's like the last thing that we think of. Like, oh yeah, God, can you take this? Am I the only one? No? We try to do it all in our own strength? You have to give it to God. We worry about one burden. We fret about another burden. We weep over this burden, but we never give it to God. Here's the thing. God, He's ready for it. He doesn't just say, all right, yeah, cast thy burdens on me. You know, give me your burdens. You know, Brother Gabe preached this, Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God isn't just like, hey, bring it to me. He's asking for it, and He's waiting for it. He's like, I'm ready. I'm here. Sometimes it's not like, okay, Wade throwing the ball to me. We have to get him to say, ready? Because if you're not ready, the ball's coming. All right, like, whoo, it's all right, you just get ready. It's coming for your face. All right. That's not God. He's always ready. He wants it. He's asking for it. But you have to give it to Him. You have to give it to Him. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Like Hezekiah, when the enemy was pressing down around him, he received the threatening letter from his enemies. He went straight to the house of the Lord, and he spread that letter before the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He cast his burden on Jesus, and Jesus upheld him with his hand. He will never allow the righteous to be moved. So, it's hot outside. Right? It's hot. I was working in the garden, and it was hot. But cooler temperatures are coming. It won't stay this hot forever. Sometimes it feels like this burden is, it won't let up. I'm going down. Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Sometimes it feels like this heat will never end. Sometimes it feels like this burden will never be lifted. This trial will never end. It will never be lifted off my shoulders. But God is still on the throne. He's still the master of the wind. And if we give the master our burden, He will gladly take it. Gladly take it. John 16, 33 says, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. God can lift any burden, but you have to give it to Him. Whenever I taught this devotion last August, Miss Jolene, who's not here tonight, she gave me a song. And the name of this song is Jesus Took My Burden. It's an a cappella, kind of like a cappella quartet song. Jesus Took My Burden and Left Me With a Song is the name of the song. Okay. And I actually sang it for teenagers a few months ago. I believe it was when we were at Napoli's. We met there a couple times. And I sang this for one of the meetings. And I have discovered recently that a great stress relief for me is singing. Amen. So in this process of possibly transitioning and the burden that comes with that, and oh, I got to think of this question, oh, I got to think of that, and all the kids and moving my family, and what if this happens, and all the burden that comes with that, I have been a little bit stressed. So I got to thinking, I was like, you know, I remember at times in my life that I was stressed, like at the different times, okay, in college, okay, lots of stuff going on. What did I do all the time? Because I don't feel like I was this burdened about stuff. Like, well, in college, I sang all the time. All the time, I sang. Like, going down the road, there's one time I sang from Oklahoma City to Dallas. Okay, 3 hours. I sang the whole time. I didn't have music playing. I was just singing the whole time. And then I got here and I was like, why does my throat hurt? Oh, yeah, I was singing the whole time. Now, this won't work for everybody. Okay, singing. All right. Some might cause a burden by being the singer. I don't know. like Brother Jesus said a couple weeks ago, it may be for you. I don't know. It may be for you. Like the plastic bag with the plate, which I think is an excellent idea. Hey, it may be for you. Singing may be for you. Might help lift a burden. But she gave me this song, and I wanted to sing it for y'all tonight. And I sang it for Shalice last night because, well, I was talking about the sermon, and I sang it first. She's like, that's good. I look forward to being there. And now she's not here. She's with Wade. So I'm going to sing you. When Jesus took my burden and left me with the song. When I, a poor lost sinner, before the Lord did fall, and in the name of Jesus for pardon loud did call, He heard my supplication, and soon the weak was strong, for Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided, my spirit was made strong, for Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Oft times the way is dreary, and rugged seems the road. Oft times I'm weak and weary when bent beneath some load. But when I cry in weakness, how, Lord, oh Lord, how long? Then Jesus takes the burden and leaves me with a song. When I was crushed with sorrow, I bowed in deep despair. My load of grief and heartache seemed more than I could bear. 'Twas then I heard a whisper, you to the Lord belong. Then Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. I'll trust Him for the future, He knoweth all the way. For with His eye He'll guide me along life's pilgrim way. And when I tell in heaven, while ages roll along, how Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided, my spirit was made strong, for Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Amen. It's good. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand.